The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey everybody, hope you're well. Welcome back to another edition of Simply Serie A, the Italian football podcast, part of the 90 Min Football Network. As ever, I'm your host, Harry Simeu, and I am delighted to be joined by a panel of Italian football experts who are going to talk us through the second round of Serie A action. First up, Mr. Vittorio Campanile, my right-hand man, even though he carries all of the weight, I just ask him questions. Vittorio, how are you, my friend?
Not bad, thanks. Thank you very much. Even though the weekend wasn't amazing from my point of view, but still glad football is back.
We will touch on the Lazio game a little bit later on, but it was dreadful. It was awful. Spoil your holidays?
No. I'm happy we took a point at least. But yeah, Torino is very tough to play against. So I'm pleased about the point.
Are you still on your holidays? You still enjoying the sun, enjoying the sea?
Ready for Lazio Inter this Friday.
There we go. Look at that dedication. Vittorio on his holidays, kind enough to join us for the podcast. Also joining us, Alessandro. How are you, my friend?
All good. A bit sad for losing Gini Wijnaldum so early on the season. However, top of the league, waiting for Juventus. Yeah, I can complain.
Brilliant stuff. And also making his Serie A debut at 90 Min's, Marco Biferri. Marco, how are you, man? Welcome to the panel.
Well, thank you, Harry. Well, how can you be after a game from last night? I mean, it was dreadful. It was torture. It was really, really bad.
Marco is our resident Juve man, so I'm sure you guessed that anyway, based on his introduction there. Let's start with Juventus, obviously held to a 0-0 draw by Sampdoria. I think it's worth discussing the game, but I think it's worth discussing also the wider picture, the wider issues at Juventus, things that were visible, I think, last season, but have carried over into this season as well under Max Allegri. Marco, what's your assessment of Allegri's second spell at the club so far? And what are your concerns? Because I assume, based on what you said, that you've got plenty.
Well, to be honest, now that you mention it, I don't think it started last season. I think this is something that comes from Allegri's last season from the first cycle. I think that's where it all started to go wrong. And not only on Allegri's side, it was mostly from Andrea Agnelli as well. I think that since then, since 2019, we haven't made one right decision. We appointed Sarri in 2019, 2020. We didn't support him. We didn't back him. Like, in the transfer windows, we didn't get him the players that he needed. We just gave him basically Allegri's team. Then you get Pirlo, and you give Pirlo a team that would have worked for Allegri. And then Pirlo does okay, like, compared to what we have now, and you sack him to bring back Allegri when you're trying to like build a new cycle from scratch, which is something that you cannot do with Allegri. That's something that you do with a manager like Conte or someone who knows how to build a team from zero. And that's not Allegri. And this is just, we're running in circles at the moment. If you see the transfer market, the players that we want to get, They're all 29, 30 years old, signing for like 2-3 years just to get him like an instant team, you know? So now there are many, many issues. Yeah, the main one is Allegri at the moment, but I think that right behind him is Andrea Agnelli.
Vittorio, let's come to you. I know you're always happy to stick the boot in on Juventus. What do you think is, what do you make of what Marco's had to say there? Do you agree with it? Are there elements of it that you disagree with? Give us your take.
I agree, but I think that Agnelli is more responsible than Allegri. I mean, Agnelli, when he took charge of everything, he did a complete disaster. As Marco was mentioning, you hire Sarri, you have to give him time and players. Then you go to Pirlo and you do exactly the same mistake. You didn't give him players. You didn't give him time. I thought, honestly, Pirlo wasn't the right manager. First experience at all, you cannot start with Juventus. You have to start from the bottom. So that was a huge mistake. But as Marco was mentioning, I thought the first big mistake was Cristiano Ronaldo. I know people say, how can you say Ronaldo is a mistake? But you go and spend 100 million just to get him, plus the salary, plus everything else. It didn't work out. Not only Juventus is in financial debts for Cristiano Ronaldo, a club that was having a lot of money, and they wasted all for Cristiano Ronaldo. I know they wanted to win the Champions League, and I understand, but you build a team. You don't sign a player and you say, okay, we're going to win the Champions League. You have to build a team around them. You have a project. So you sign, I don't know, you sign Sarri, and then you have to get the players for Sarri. You don't just sign a Sarri, 1 year didn't work, okay, you're gone. So I think Agnelli is the main responsible here, and it's evident. Inter fan should build a statue for Agnelli. Inter won the Scudetto thanks of Agnelli that sent away Marotta, thanks that Agnelli that fight with Conte. I mean, the last Scudetto of Inter is Marotta-Conte. I mean, Inter fans should be so happy about what Agnelli did. And he continued to make mistakes because, as Marco was mentioning, this is an instant team. Di Maria is 36 years old. He's good. I don't discuss that. But how long will he play? I mean, now he's injured already. So that's not a good start. He's 36. Do you think next year he's going to play at this level? Pogba, yeah, great signing, zero fee, etc. But he's 29. Kostic is a player I love, another 29-year-old player. We're going to talk about Milan probably, but Milan, they signed De Ketelaere. He's 20. You know, that's the type of players you have to build from. You know, build a young team with obviously players ready to win now, which is not very easy. Don't go and spend a lot of money on Di Maria, etc. Agnelli is a problem. Allegri is another problem. So this is why yesterday's match was so boring, I think.
Just another thing I wanted to add to that is that, for example, we had some young players like Kulusevski, Chiesa, and you give them to someone like Allegri, who doesn't want to build them to make them better. Kulusevski played last season, like the first 5 months with Juventus. He didn't have a specific position. He played him in all different positions. He never worked in like any of them. He used them as a trequartista, like a number 10, which didn't make sense at all. He went to the Spurs. A week later, with Conte, he was already scoring goals. And we are not even... One of the things that Allegri said on the press conference when he came back was that the Juventus had brought him back to basically to win and to make the players better. He hasn't done any, because I cannot mention one player that since last year has gotten better. I cannot mention at all. Like one, there's none. Most of them have gotten worse.
And they sold the biggest younger talent they have, De Ligt, right? He was the only younger that had talent, and they sold him. And if Chiellini didn't want to leave, they still had Chiellini and Bellucci playing there.
Yeah.
I mean, Chesney 10 years ago was playing for Arsenal, and he's starting for Juventus now. I mean, next year they're going to sign for a over 35 season, right? Serie A, I don't know. I think, you know, seeing what Milan is doing, they're doing exactly the wrong way.
That's the blueprint, isn't it? Ale, Vittorio mentioned that Inter fans should build a statue for Agnelli, because he's responsible in some ways for obviously Inter kind of getting over their Scudetto drought. What about from a Roma perspective, looking in, listening in to all the things that the guys have said? Would you agree with those kind of conclusions, I guess?
I mean, I'm scared to talk about Juventus the week before the game against Juventus, because, you know, historically, they never die. However, I agree with Vittorio when he says the first problem starts when Agnelli agrees with Paratici and disagrees with Marotta when it was time to sign Cristiano Ronaldo. Agnelli and Paratici thought, okay, Cristiano Ronaldo is the last piece of our puzzle in order to win the Champions League. Marotta disagrees because historically, Juventus has been always above the players. Juventus are bigger than the players. Ronaldo, for the first time in a century, was bigger than Juventus. Then, to keep Ronaldo, obviously, you need to go low budget on the midfielders. Because in another situation, the goal of Juventus, the main target for Juventus, would have been Milinkovic-Savic after the second season of Lazio, because it was the best midfielder in Serie A. Usually, this is the player they target, but they obviously hadn't the chance economically to sustain this sign. Then, low budget, and everything was a consequence. If you sign Sarri, you need to give him time, especially in a club like Juventus. Because, I mean, to me, a club have in a sort of DNA. In that way, signing Sarri means changing the DNA of Juventus, and you need to give him time and players to do it. You cannot ask him to do it with the players you have.
Yeah,
this is the situation, but they never die. So I'm really scared now.
He's reluctant to go too hard, isn't he? Let's take it back to the game against Sampdoria. It wasn't a good Juve performance. It was boring. It was dull. It wasn't a great watch. And, you know, for those of you that have an interest in the Premier League as well, of course, there was that game between Manchester United and Liverpool going on at the same time. And I can imagine there were a lot of people that switched over, because for me, I don't even think Juve looked particularly threatening. They did have the ball in the back of the net once, but Vlahovic was offside, of course. What was your assessment of the game?
Do you want to know how many balls Vlahovic touched in the first half? Three.
Wow.
One was when they kick off the ball at the beginning.
Yep.
The second one was in a corner against us that he basically threw back. So three balls in the first half. There are many pictures right now on Twitter where you can see how the buildup of the match was yesterday, and there was no one in the midfield. It was the four in the back, no one in the midfield, and the rest up top. We have not even a single trace of what a tactic or anything is like. I think Allegri just tell them, just go and do whatever you want, because it doesn't make sense at all. At the moment, it's just horrific, especially for Vlahovic, because you see him like suffer. He's not getting in the game, and it's all because of the tactics.
Can I say something before we talk about the match? I thought Juventus made the wrong move again. I mean, they need a regista. They need someone that moved the ball, and they didn't. Pogba is not that type of player. Now they're trying to sign Paredes. Are we sure he's the right player for that? Because the problem of Vlahovic, he's a striker that stays in the box and need the ball there. But you need to get the ball in front, and you don't have anybody there. So for me, the mistake they made is not signing a regista. And we see it against Sampdoria, who is not a great team, because I saw Atalanta-Sampdoria, and it was another dreadful match. So it's not that they drew against Real Madrid. They drew against Sampdoria. That is a terrible team this year. They don't have a regista. They don't have nobody that moves the ball fast. So it's easy to defend against Juventus.
Not only that, they're playing Locatelli as a regista, which is not his position. And you have this kid, Rovella, in the on the bench, who has played already two seasons, I think, at Genoa. So he has played in Serie A. Why don't you give him the chance? No, you just prefer playing Rabiot, that last week was basically at Old Trafford already. Yeah. So you prefer playing Rabiot over the kid. And that's another thing. He doesn't give any type of chance to young players. We have Fagioli, who was the best player in Serie B last season. I read today that we might send him on loan.
Yeah.
Because we had Rovella, who has played two seasons in Serie A already. So he has a bit of experience. He played yesterday like 15 minutes. And we have Miretti, who he has played a bit more, but he's still not giving him enough trust. So basically, Allegri has said throughout the whole summer that Vlahovic needs to play in a 4-3-3 formation with two wingers right next to him. And then he started the season. And for example, against Sassuolo, it was the same because the first 20 minutes, it was awful. We were playing because that's the thing with Allegri. He always plays 4-4-2. He always plays players out of position. He plays Rabiot on the left wing. He plays McKennie.
It's always some variation of a 4-4-2.
Yeah. And then why do you
Rabiot
say...
Rabiot is always off position, though. When he's in the pitch, he's off position.
Yeah, absolutely. No, but to be honest, Rabiot can be useful when you're playing a midfielder too. That's where he's a bit... I remember last season against Inter, he basically pocketed Barella. But yeah, you talk
because
about...
Because he's small.
Yeah, you talk during the whole summer that you're going to play 4-3-3, and then you come and play 4-4-2 all over again. McKennie was playing yesterday behind Vlahovic, which doesn't make any type of sense, because the main good thing about McKennie is that he can play from the midfield and get into the box and surprise the defense. If you play him where he played him yesterday, you just lose everything. Every sense of surprise for him, basically.
Ale, we'll take it back to Vlahovic just for a second, because I'm really interested in the Vlahovic discussion, because being an Arsenal fan, we were heavily linked with him last January. There was so much noise about that. It never happened. He ended up going to Juventus instead. The Arsenal fan base were in meltdown. I can't believe it. We haven't got Dusan Vlahovic in through the door. This is the disaster. Some Arsenal fans still think that is why they didn't make the Champions League last season. The truth is the player never wanted to come to Arsenal. That was never on the cards. But in terms of his poor performances at the moment and his inability to get involved in the game, Ali, how much percentage of that would you put down to Vlahovic himself as a player maybe not doing enough? And how much of it would you put down to the team not being functional and the team not being able to get the maximum out of him?
If Vittorio allows me, let me do a comparison. It's the same reason, no? We always say, okay, Ciro Immobile doesn't perform with the national team. This is more or less same situation. He switched from the offensive game style of Fiorentina and Italiano to Juventus, when basically he didn't receive any balls, and they didn't fit him. So it's tricky for him. I really love Vlahovic, because thanks of Vlahovic, I won the last fantasy football with my friends. But when was draft time in the season, I didn't sign him. I didn't want him, because I thought, okay, this season, he'll be in danger. Obviously, as a Arsenal fan, you were worried last season was a big chance to sign him. But for example, for Arsenal, I strongly believe Gabriel Jesus is the perfect fit. If we need to talk about percentage, if you're a great manager, you need to be able to trigger your best striker and to make him play the best way possible. So I strongly believe Vlahovic is a great striker. They need to find a way. Hopefully, it won't be next weekend to make him perform.
So you still haven't given me a percentage, though. Is it 70% Juve, 30% Vlahovic? Is it more in Juve's court? How do you...
I would say 65-35, because maybe 60-40. Because if you have Vlahovic, you need to understand you are going to Juventus and you need to change your level and going to the top. So also Vlahovic needs to adapt to Juventus.
I think Ali's been generous to Juventus there. What do you guys think in terms of percentage? Vittorio, I'll come to you first.
I told you, I'm scared.
Well, you know, I think maybe it was too early for Vlahovic to go to a club like Juventus. I would opt to stay at Fiorentina or that type of level because I think he has to grow. He still have to improve. I thought the price was too much. I thought Vlahovic doesn't deserve 70 million euros. So that's one thing. I think in modern football, strikers cannot be like Vlahovic at the moment. You cannot simply stay in the penalty box and hope to get a ball. You have to move more around the field, get balls, help your team. And this is something that he doesn't do. So I think Alessandro is right. Vlahovic needs to help a little bit more the team. And, you know, especially when you're playing for a big team, or you're Messi and Ronaldo, and so the team works for you. But otherwise, you have to work for them as well. So, yeah, 60-40. Obviously, now the question is, Di Maria and Cuadrado, are the perfect fit for Vlahovic? I'm not convinced about that. Di Maria likes to finish the action, doesn't put a lot of balls in the penalty box. So that's going to be another thing. And again, Allegri has the job of the manager is to make your top players succeed, make them shine. And this is what Allegri is not doing. So 60-40, yeah, I agree.
Marco, final word on this?
80-20. And I'm being generous. He's 22 years old. I mean, Vlahovic just turned 22 years old in January. His core, I don't know, over 20 goals in I don't know how many games with Fiorentina. These are crazy numbers. I think he could have stayed maybe a little longer at Fiorentina, but I don't think it would have made a huge difference. I think once you have the opportunity to go to a big team like Juventus, you take it. But you're supposed to take a next level. And that's what we were saying before. Like Allegri was told to make the players you have more valuable. And this is something that it hasn't happened. To be honest, Vlahovic, with all of the issues that Juventus had last season, still score like a decent amount of goals. And this year he has two. So he always find a way to score goals, but I don't think he's going to reach his true potential unless someone else train him.
Is there a chance just kind of, we've spent a long time on Juventus, but we haven't done much on them so far. So I did want to do this, but
I add something, Harry?
Of course.
I mean, also paying him a lot is an issue of this modern football. Let me be romantic. After
I love 18, it when Ali's romantic. Mm-hmm.
After 18, 20 goals with Fiorentina, you cannot be paid 80 million because it's not the right price, you know?
Yep.
And this put pressure on the players. And obviously, when you pay a lot for a player and the player doesn't deliver, then he gets the attention, he gets the blame. But unfortunately, if we pay Vlahovic 80 million, how much should we pay for a striker? I don't know. I don't have an example.
How much did he pay for Haaland?
Yeah, but that one was a particular situation because there was a release clause. Otherwise, they would have paid 200 million in order to sign him. But at the moment, if you ask me, you have a chance to take Vlahovic or Gabriel Jesus for your team. I take Gabriel Jesus because it's more complete. Is a player, and he proved in Manchester City, in a top club, he can stay there, you know? Mm-hmm. This is the situation. I mean, I wouldn't blame Vlahovic, but he need to grow. Juventus pay 80 million to a striker who needs to grow and to increase his level.
Yeah, fair points indeed. Just finally on Juventus then, since we're playing the percentage game today, Marco, what's the percentage chance that Max Allegri is still in charge at the start of next season?
I don't know.
Not what you hope. What do you expect?
To be honest, I don't think we will win the league. And I think if we don't win the league, he's gone. I think so. And I don't think we're going to win it. I think Milan will win it. So I think by the end, but he won't be fired during the season, because that's something that we don't usually do. We're going to hold on to him until the end of the season. Unless we are at risk of making the top four as we were last season, I think he will stay until the end of the season. But by the end of it, I think if he doesn't win something, he's gone.
Vittorio, do you think he'll be in charge of Juve at the start of the next campaign?
Well, I think I don't remember his contract situation, because I think he has a huge contract with Juventus and
4 years.
With the financial situation of Juventus, I think they'll have to stick with him. So I don't think Juventus will win the Scudetto. They're doing a great transfer market, but the manager is not the right one. So, I think they're going to give him another chance probably.
Ali, think he'll be there at the start of next season?
They're paying $7 million till 2025. I think they need to give him another chance, you know? Because when they called him back, basically, they thought, okay, he did this, let's try to do it again. In the meantime, football has changed. Inter are back, Milan are back, Roma, Lazio, and Napoli are trying to improving every season. And the Juventus level, Juventus was in danger also last season. You should remember, they were losing at the Olimpico 3-1, then Roma... I don't know, the Roma, the classic Roma stuff. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I can think about it. But otherwise, they would have been in danger with Lazio and that stuff. So Juventus, I don't know if they can, at this stage, with this level, we cannot judge a season from two games.
Of course,
but at this level, the level they showed, it's lower than the Roma and Napoli's one, and I put Milan and Inter on top definitely. But they chose Allegri and they need to go with him.
Absolutely. I was listening back to last week's episode as well, and one of the lines that kind of really stuck with me from something that Ale said was, this is not the same Serie A that Allegri left all those years ago. He's come back to, and he needs to adapt. And, you know, if he doesn't start doing so quickly, then Juventus are going to be in a position where they're in between a rock and a hard place. You sack him and you have to pay him off and you have to get him out the door. And that can have big financial implications, particularly when clubs are still recovering from what's happened in the last couple of years, or you risk falling further behind. So either way, you can't win. Let's take it on from Juventus and let's talk a little bit about Milan, who we were talking about briefly just then, as a side that have done things right in terms of finding that right balance between youth and, of course, experience, which they still do have quite a bit of within the group, at least. Maybe not in the starting 11 all the time, but certainly within the group. They were held to a 1-1 draw by Atalanta, Vittorio. Someone watching from the outside who maybe doesn't follow Serie A might think that this was a bit of a slip up on Milan's part. I watched the game and I actually thought that this was the type of point that they will look back on at the end of the season. And although it's not ideal now, they will say that was a good bloody point. What did you make of their performance, Vittorio? And do you agree with me or disagree, of course?
No, I don't agree completely with you. I mean, okay. I saw Atalanta against Sampdoria and they won a match that I don't think they deserve to win. I don't think it's the same Atalanta we saw in the past. And this is one of the things we have to remember. And we saw Milan make mistakes that they didn't do last year. Last year, the secret of this club was the defense. They were so good defending. It was so tough scoring to Milan. Now, this is just the second match of the season and Milan allowed 3 goals. This is a question mark, a huge question mark. And against Atalanta, that the goal Atalanta scored was a mistake from Milan defense. I mean, you know, Marinovski shot from distance. You don't have to give him time and space to do it. Plus, I didn't understand where Maignan was going. Even if the ball was deflected, he was going on the wrong way again. So, question mark there. In the second half, Milan dominated the match. They should have done something more. But, you know, at the moment, they're missing a number 9 that scores. Leao was marked very well. He didn't create nothing, and he's the guy that creates sparks, right? He's the one that can change the match with his talent, with his speed, etc. He didn't do pretty much nothing. The impression is that this team is still celebrating the Scudetto. They still have to realize that the season started again. And these points, for me, at the end of the season will make the difference. So that's why I'm going with Inter. Obviously, I like the decision they make this transfer market, etc. But I'm not seeing the Milan focus as they were last year. And I'm not convinced Atalanta will finish in the top seven this season because they have big issue. I don't know if I'm right, but Zapata in the last 14 matches scored just once. And he's your number nine. Muriel doesn't see the goal since, I don't know, 2020. So, you know, you play football, but you need to score at the end. And Atalanta is struggling to score with their strikers. If they sell Marinovski, who will score goals for Atalanta? So I don't see Atalanta finishing very well. But again, transfer market finished the 1st of September. They are like 7 days to sign some players. So yep. We don't know what Atalanta is going to do. But I wasn't impressed, honestly. And I think Milan needs to improve a lot if they want to fight for the title.
Malinovsky would be a huge loss, as you say, and he'd really sort of, it would really lower their level further, wouldn't it? Even though naturally, I think they've dropped off in comparison to what they were maybe two seasons ago under Gasperini. But yeah, I mean, I personally, and it is just my opinion, think that we're being a little bit harsh on Milan in that it's two games in. And I still think, I still am of the opinion that draws away to Atalanta, it's not a result to be sniffed at. And I think over the course of the season, they'll probably look back on that and say, particularly coming from a losing position, it's not the end of the world. But Ale was sort of putting his thumbs up when Vittorio was speaking there. So I assume you're kind of thinking along the same lines. Talk to us.
I agree when Vittorio says it's like they're still celebrating the Scudetto. But when you play Atalanta away, you never know what to expect. Despite, to me, they are towards the end of this project with Gasperini. I personally believe might be last season of Gasperini. Then they try to renew because Gasperini always complained. But however, he started complaining about transfer windows since last season. He's asking continuously for new players and players. He says, okay, Atalanta should target better player than Malinovsky, who can score just 6 goals in a season. This is the kind of relationship. So the Atalanta situation is tricky, but when you play there, you never know what to expect. Milan got a good point, but for example, there was a chance, an important chance with Tonali, who was trying to stepping up one more time as a leader of this squad. However, if you're a leader, then you see Giroud in the middle, you win the game, and that's it. Can be a good point. Hopefully, they won't regret it at the end, because as I said at the beginning of the season, Inter is there, and they don't want to miss another chance.
Marco, on Milan?
No, I agree. I agree with what Ale is saying. I think, even if Atalanta is at the end of the cycle or at the end of this project, I think it's a good point, especially at the beginning of the season. I don't think they're still celebrating the title. I just think they probably just started a bit rough. But I still see Milan as the main competitor for the title. Another thing I wanted to
add, because you don't want to see Inter, you know.
No, I just don't see Inter fighting until the end, especially with Simone Inzaghi. I'm not a fan, and Pioli has gotten so much better. But one thing I wanted to say about Atalanta is that I think we're starting to realize this pattern here about Gasperini being an issue as well, because he's always fighting with some player. He fight with Papu Gomez. He fight with I believe it was Ilic as well. He's fighting now with Malinowski. What he said in the press is something that you cannot say. I think he's losing a bit of the people inside of the team.
Honestly, I think the cycle was closed last year.
Yeah.
They should have changed last year. I mean, he sent away Gollini, that I don't rate a great goalkeeper. But I mean, you're Atalanta, you have to stick with your players. And I think Gasperini is a little bit like Antonio Conte, right? 3 years is the maximum. Afterwards, he destroyed, self-destroyed.
Unless he changed the whole squad, basically.
But let's talk about also, for example, the Boga issue. You know, you sign a player like Boga for 20 million in January, and then after 6 months, you say, okay, this is not a team player. I don't want him. If you spend 20 million for every club in Serie A, especially if you're Atalanta, you need to protect your investment.
Exactly. Yes.
Otherwise, there is an issue.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we have to talk even about the ownership, because the Americans came, and I know a lot of journalists in Bergamo that were so excited. Ah, we are going to do like Milan, et cetera, et cetera. It doesn't look like, right? They came here just to make money. So you have to be very careful when ownership from abroad comes. And yeah, I think overall Gasperini's done, and Atalanta should have sent him away last summer.
Can I just take it back to Milan for a second again before we move on? Again, I don't want to dwell too much on the game. You know, that it was an equalizer from Bennacer. I thought it was a really good goal, the way he cut inside and bent it into the far corner. I've shared my thoughts. I think that Milan did get a decent point. And I am, although I don't have a team in Italy, I am very much a neutral. Milan is the team that I have the most soft spot for, if I had to say one. I actually look at Milan over the last couple of years. And obviously they won the Scudetto last season. They were quite close the season before. I've never looked at them though and thought, this team are a machine. This team are going to win every time they go out to play, in the way that Juve did in the past, in the way that you had that mentality around Juve, in the way that you had that mentality around Inter under Conte and under Mancini all those years ago. I've never felt that with Milan. I've always felt that they've not been at that level, partly because they've got a lot of young players and because of some of the injuries they've had. I've always felt like they've been the best of a bad bunch, in that they are more consistent, but it's still not, under normal circumstances, enough. Is that just me? I didn't think that they were that great last season. I mean, we were talking about Inter and what a failure that was and what a flop that was. They only finished 2 points behind them. And Napoli weren't a million miles away, 7 points behind Milan. Milan were not great. And so I'm not surprised when they go and drop points like this.
I think it's true. I mean, Inter wasted a huge opportunity last year. Napoli as well. I mean, let's not forget, around January, people will say, hey, Napoli can win this time. They're playing really great football, etc. So Inter and Napoli wasted a lot of points, and Milan simply stopped believing it. I thought the impression I had last year wasn't that Milan was playing great. The fact is, they believe they could win every single game, even without playing well. They beat Lazio at last second in a match that, they played better, but they didn't do nothing exceptional. The derby, same thing. I mean, they won a lot of matches that normally they could draw, and that's the difference.
Yeah.
But that's the thing, though, isn't it? Like, you can look at teams that win championships in any league, and you can say they will have off days. When they have that ability to get over those rough days mentally and get over the line, that is the sign of champions. We say that so often, don't we? But if you watch a team and over the course of the season, there are 10, 12 fixtures where you think they've just about got over the line here, then I think that that tells you that actually maybe they're not at the level that you think they are, as opposed to it being, look how mentally tough they are. They got over the line this weekend. I just don't see it with Milan. I don't think they're that formidable. And that's why I don't think they're guaranteed to retain the Scudetto this season.
Yeah, totally agree with you. Look, everything is started right after the pandemic. There was Milan-Roma, and I was really surprised. We lost 2-0 in San Siro. And I started saying, okay, what's happened to this team, you know? Because before the pandemic, they were totally average. When the Juventus cycle has come to an end, the throne was empty. And if you're in Italy and you know Juventus is not there, they are not there, and you are Milan, you think, okay, let's try. Inter made some mistakes. Bologna in the derby. Napoli made some mistake. Let's don't forget Empoli Napoli last season was a suicide from Spalletti's side. Milan was there, always there. They went to Napoli, they won. They won the derby. They won last second against Lazio. They've beaten Roma. It's not for this reason when we were talking about the greed. Me and Vittorio, remember me and Vittorio say, okay, for me, Inter a favorite. Because if I look at the squad, if I look at the capacity and the power of the team, Inter to me are better than Milan. But if you don't manage to keep your lever along the whole season, Milan will be there.
This is guaranteed. From the top five teams in Italy, the one that I would say has less issues is Milan. So I think they're probably the most solid all around. I think, for example, Inter, I don't see them having too much depth, especially in defense. I don't know if Skriniar will leave or not. Juventus, well, we already know all the issues that we have. Roma might be there, but I don't see them fighting for the title. I see them fighting more for the top four. So when you and Napoli is Napoli. They never win. So
Napoli are basically the Tottenham Hotspur of Italy.
Exactly.
But Napoli has a good team. You know, I'm really interesting to see Napoli how they perform, because last year at a certain point I was saying, you know, Napoli can really win it,
Napoli never win, and Spalletti is the same. So
yeah, the problem is Spalletti. Probably he's a loser. He lost a scudetto with Roma. It's still unbelievable.
I wouldn't call him a loser. I would call him not a winner. But he will. He's also very solid in that he will get you the team in the top four as well. So this is what I say when I think that Milan will win it. I think they're probably the most solid one, and they already won it once. So they. Knowing that you can win it can give you that special push to do it again, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, look, after the two first games, I had the chance to watch Napoli every time. And it's a mix of feelings, you know, because as a Roma supporter, you see this great game style. They're really playing a really good football and it looks like they're enjoying it. However, I saw the situation because as today, I would say, okay, Napoli are the better in the league by far. Even though they won against Verona and Monza, I mean, and if you look at the squad, probably, okay, they lost Insigne, they lost Mertens, but the replacement of Insigne and Mertens are good replacement because Kvara now looks impressive. Simeone is definitely better than Petagna. Probably the only gap to fill was the one Koulibaly with Kim, you know? But let's see.
They're missing the goalkeeper if they don't sign Navas or Kea. Yeah, but Meret is awful, guys.
They'll get one of them. And they're also getting Ndombele from Spurs as well.
Ndombele, Ndombele.
He's already there, right?
Yeah, he's already there. It's official.
He'll do well. He'll do well in Italy. Yeah. Is that what we're doing now? Are we calling Kvaratskhelia Kvara? Is that the
it's
Kvaratona, I heard.
Yeah, I've heard that as well. I don't really want to touch too much on the Napoli game. Routine win over Monza, very comfortable win. But I don't even really want to talk about Victor Osimhen because I don't think we'd say anything that we haven't already said before. But Kvaratskhelia, what a player he looks, Vittorio. What a start to life at Napoli. I think he got a goal and an assist in the first weekend and then a couple of goals. And the first one in particular, they were both great goals, but the first one in particular this weekend was superb.
I don't want to say I pick him for my fantasy football and obviously I won, but you know, football expert is that. Didn't see that coming, honestly. I already after the first day, I said, this guy looks interesting. But yeah, what a start of a season. What a start of a season for Napoli as well. The problem is, and Alessandro, correct me if I'm wrong, last year Napoli didn't lose for the first 14 matches. So, you know, and then we saw how Napoli finished the season. So relax a little bit because this is the issue with Napoli and with Spalletti. But yeah, they are the team that's playing better so far. So really interesting to see how they go. Yeah, they didn't have huge opponent at the moment because Monza and Verona didn't impress so far. But, you know, starting this well, it's very important because Napoli is a little bit like Rome. If you start strong, then the fan will be very confident. They will follow you. The stadium would be full, a lot of confidence, etc. So it's going to be tough to beat Napoli. But, you know, it's early stages yet.
Has the San Paolo ever been full? Has that bottom tier around the side of the pitch ever been full up? I can't think of an occasion where it has.
Years ago, yes. I think against Liverpool in the Champions League was the last time.
And even the bottom bit.
This is very strange because I remember in the past, San Paolo was always packed and fans were always there. This is a little bit about the problem there is between De Laurentiis, Napoli owner, and the fans. There's a big fight between fans and De Laurentiis because the fans believe that De Laurentiis is making money out of Napoli and the fans would love to see Napoli winning the Scudetto, fighting for the Champions League, and so on, while De Laurentiis is trying to keep the balance sheet in order. And so, unfortunately, it's very difficult for Napoli to win things.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's take it on to Roma. Alessandro, a win over Cremonese. A couple of questions I've got for you on this one. Would you say that Roma was slightly fortunate not to concede a goal at the weekend?
Definitely. I mean, if you don't score and then they score the equalizer, they didn't steal anything, you know? So I would say yes, but this is what means to have Jose Mourinho with another manager. Probably we would have drawn the game. So now it's 6 points. To be honest, was a different game from the one with Salernitana, in which Roma didn't concede anything. Cremonese have their chances, especially with Dessers, probably was bitter from the Europa Conference League final, you know, and tried to score in every way, but 6 points. The real games will be now against Juventus. You know, for us it's always complicated to be there and winning the game. Last season we lost the game with Ken's scoring with his face without noticing it. So it's always a tricky game against Juventus. We have lost Gini Wijnaldum and complicated, you know, when you try and sign a midfielder important like Wijnaldum, at least for Roma, it was an important signing, and you know you will lose it until 2023. So the first part of the season is gone. We have lost Zaniolo, but I'm still convinced we need to work game by game and let's see what's happening.
Ale, talk to me just a little bit about Paulo Dybala and how he's adapted to life at Roma. Have you been impressed by what you've seen of him so far?
He lacks a bit of condition, so we need to expect him physically. So I saw some progress from the first game. He was in a really good shape in the game against Salernitana. So we need to find a bit of pace and hopefully he will score the first one. No?
He will score.
It's
written like he will score. When is it? Saturday or Sunday?
Saturday.
Yeah, he will score 100%.
I really hate it when the best game of the weekend is not on Sunday. It annoys me.
It's this Friday.
No. Vittorio catching us like a fish. Let's quickly touch on Inter and then we'll wrap up with a bit of Lazio talk. Routine win for Inter over Spezia. I expected them to win that game. Perhaps, though, the most encouraging thing, Marco, was seeing Romelu Lukaku and Lautaro Martinez link up. It was almost like a throwback to a couple of seasons ago, that first goal, the way that Lukaku sort of made the run into space and just cushioned the header back down for Lautaro to finish brilliantly. Do you think that... I think it's going to work for Inter. Are you seeing signs that partnership could really spearhead a title challenge in the way that it did in the past?
Well, I don't know if it's encouraging for me, but yeah, I think Lukaku found his dimension in Italy. He found the place where he's probably the best at. He knows he basically can bully any defense in Serie A. And yeah, that's the reason why he cut his salary, why he wanted to come back so badly. He knows that in Italy he can make the difference. And that's only good news for Lautaro. I mean, the first goal is literally Inter 2020, 2021, written all over it. I think they're going to do well together. They do have a nice depth in attack with him and with both of them, and Checo and Correa. I'm still thinking that Inter is lacking a bit of depth in the rest of the squad. Like, if they lose Brozovic for a bit of time, they don't have a proper replacement. I know you can sort of put Kanaloglu in there, but I'm not a big fan of his. Defense, if they lose Skriniar by the end of the transfer market. I mean, I don't know. I still see Inter fighting for the title against Milan, but I still think Milan is a bit better.
This is clearly a Juventus fan hoping.
No. I'm just not a big fan of Simone Inzaghi. I think he's a bit like a Spalletti. He's not a loser, but he's not a winner either.
Wow, Vittorio. Vittorio is ready to come back on that one. Go for it, my friend.
Well, no, I'm saving my voice because I'm ready to boo him for 95 minutes on Friday. But I think he's a great manager. I mean, another manager that with Lazio won the Supercoppa Italiana and the Coppa Italia so often, it's not very easy. And he's perfect for the 3-5-2. I mean, Correa scored against Spezia. So what are we talking about? He has Mkhitaryan on the bench for Çalhanoğlu. I think he has a lot of option. And if he signs even Acerbi, we'll be very happy. So I hope that goes through. The only question mark, and we talked about that, is Gosens, right? That's where there is the only issue I have with Inter. Let's not forget that this is Serie A, it's not Premier League. I mean, every single team in Serie A has one or two issues. Juventus, Milan, Inter, Roma, Napoli, they all have issues. We don't have the money to have 22 players at the same level. We can have 16, 17, 18 maybe, etc. So that's where the problem comes. So I think in front, Inter is very well suited. Zeko, Correa as subs, they will be starting probably everywhere else. Çalhanoğlu, Brozovic. It's difficult to find a replacement for Brozovic. I mean, yeah, Real Madrid probably can have the money to have a good replacement for Brozovic, etc. But Serie A, it's very difficult. He's an incredible player. I don't think Skriniar is leaving. I think that's the message Inter sent to Paris Saint-Germain last week. So, you know, with Skriniar, De Vrij and Bastoni, they have a decent defense, I would say, a very good defense. We have to see Andanovic if he continues to play or he loses his job. But I think, and I after the match against Spezia, I believe they are the favorite for the Scudetto. So, yeah, still stick with my prediction, especially seeing how Milan and Juventus are performing.
You mentioned Correa there as well, scoring the goal. Great composure to finish that chance off, by the way, like sort of to not panic and sort of chop the defender and put it in the back of the net. And we talked about Martinez and Lukaku combining. Well, he and Dzeko combined really well, didn't they, for that goal.
Let's not forget that they had to win against Lecce in the 95th minute. So it's not like it has been great so far for Inter.
No, but should we... This is the thing, right? It's so difficult at this stage in the season because teams haven't really got going yet. It's hard to kind of make concrete conclusions, I think, on a lot of teams. But they've got 6 points on the board at the end of the day. And I guess at this point in the season, that's the main thing. Also, as well, one thing I've really noticed in the last couple of weeks, how much of a threat in the air is Denzel Dumfries from set pieces? I never thought that of him in the past, but he's somebody who's just got such a great leap on him and gives them a real target. That's not really something you'd associate normally with a wing back. So that's really, really interesting. To finish up, we're going to talk Lazio. I said at the start of the show that it wasn't exactly a great game, but I am always interested to hear Vittorio's thoughts on his beloved Lazio. You said earlier on a 0-0 draw or a point at Torino was, I guess, respectable. Talk to us about how the game went and what were your takeaways from it?
Well, Juric is a great manager. I'm surprised he's at Torino. Honestly, 2 years ago when he left Verona, I thought he was ready for Fiorentina, Lazio, something like that. He's a great manager and he makes really tough to play against. He's very good manager. He has this type of football, mark full pitch. So you really struggle to play great football. And we saw it. Lazio struggle a lot. The problem is they don't have Belotti. They sold a lot of good players. So it's not the Torino of last year. But still, I love Sanabria. I mean, Sanabria is a player I would love to have in my club as a sub, obviously. And Lazio struggled in the first half. In the second, Lazio had three great chances. And, you know, watching the match, watching the chance Milinkovic-Savic missed, I thought, well, his brother is in goal. He did it on purpose. He didn't want to score to his brother. Because otherwise, that was a huge chance. And yeah, I think overall, Lazio deserve to win. But if you don't score like Atalanta's doing, then this is what you get. Not happy because we're playing against Inter on Friday. So, you know, I don't know if we will get points out of that match because Inter is a great team. But I mean, I'm happy about the performance of Lazio and the project. I love the project. I already talked about it. We signed youngster and we're looking to the future, not this year, I think.
Basically, they're giving Sarri the tools that Sarri needs to build a team. Go on, Ali.
I have a question for Vittorio. When I'm really curious to see Marcos Antonio in action, when we will have the chance to watch him.
I don't know. I was hoping that because one of the things that didn't work, it's our midfield was very physical, but lack of talent. Without Luis Alberto, without Marcos Antonio, we didn't move the ball very fast. And this helped definitely Torino. I think Marcos Antonio is a very interesting player and he's young. So I want to see him play because I think if he starts, he will never get off. So I'm really curious to see this type of player. I'm impressed by Cancellieri, who's another youngster coming from Roma, by the way. So, you know, there are a couple of talents player in Lazio. I hope they will have the chance to shine this season.
They love our former player, Harry.
Yeah, Pedro is back.
Guys, thank you so, so much for joining me on this edition of Simply Serie A. Vittorio, as always, let people know how they can follow you and keep up to date with your great work.
Well, you can follow me on Twitter at Vittorio Campa or on YouTube searching Vittorio Campanile or Lazio Lounge, the podcast in English about Lazio.
Brilliant stuff. Ale, how can people keep up to date with the great work that you do over at 90 Min?
Oh, you can follow, obviously, our Instagram account, 90min_Italia, our YouTube account, 90min_Italia, and then, obviously, me on Instagram, Alessandro De Miti.
Brilliant stuff. Marco, thank you so much, mate. Great debut. You've done a cracking job. Really, really enjoyed hearing your thoughts on Juventus and all things Serie A. How can people follow you on social media, my friend?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me because I needed to rant today about Allegri. So thank you very much. Well, you can find me on Twitter or Instagram at mbiferi, B-I-F-E-R-I. That's where you can find me.
Fantastic stuff. Make sure you give all of the guys a follow. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at Simply Serie A. If you are not subscribed to the podcast, what on earth are you doing? Get subscribing and, of course, leave us a review. We'll be back next week to look back at week 3's action from the Serie A. Until next time, take care of yourselves. Ciao.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time.
Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.